Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
Do you want to be a personal trainer? Recently, one of my nephews said that he would like to learn to be a personal trainer, and what was involved, and how long did I think he needed to go to school, and were the certifications difficult to achieve? My guest is Richard Cotton. He's the National Director of Certification Programs for the American College of Sports Medicine. So, Richard, let's talk first about the certifications that are going on out there. People all over the country, this is a growing field. It's really a booming field as the population gets older and we're looking more towards preventive medicine. This is a huge field. So first of all, what does it really take to become a personal trainer?
Well, it really then depends on what kind of trainer you want to become. The deeper you go into your education, the more you can do, the more value you provide to your clients. So what does it take? Well, it could take a passion for exercise, which usually is accompanied by quite a bit of knowledge and passing a certification exam. I mean, that's the kind of the lowest bar. ACSM is really more interested in trainers that that have more education with a minimum of an associate's degree or even a bachelor's degree. Just to make sure the depth of knowledge is there.
Okay, so let's start. I mean, since we are ACSM here on this show, let's start with when you say an associate's degree or bachelor's degree, somebody listening says, well, I want to be a personal trainer. I don't know if I can go to a full four-year college or whatever. You know, if they were going to pre-take some classes, what would you suggest? I mean, I tell people, you know, anatomy, physiology, exercise, physiology, nutrition. What am I missing here?
Well, the job of a personal trainer is assess exercise programming, exercise leadership, and also, legal professional issues. So exercise assessment, what does it take to assess a client? You've named exercise, anatomy, exercise physiology, and then there's usually courses and even extension courses in exercise assessment, because you really know how to... You need to know how to assess your client, whether or not they're safe to exercise, and it's always helpful to have some assessment of their fitness level. So assessment and then programming. So that also is that foundational exercise prescription class. I mean, not exercise prescription, exercise physiology class that we've already mentioned. But then and as an undergrad or even in community college, there are exercise prescription classes, how to write an exercise program based on the goals, the kin characteristics of your client.
So when you're thinking about writing an exercise program, though, Richard, you know, some people are going to gravitate toward hospital-based clubs where they're going to give you guidelines. Some people are going to gravitate towards regular fitness clubs, or as I did with in-home training, which is a whole different level of creativity, because some people don't have any equipment at all, and you need to sit there and try and, you know, come up with a workout that you can change, update, work with them. So when you're talking about education, is there a sort of a place for that learning, that creativity and learning curve of different atmospheres that you might be training people in?
Yes, and that's more in the continuing education realm and at conferences, you know, trainer conferences, where you get that. It depending on the course at a university and how progressive the university is, that it may be there, it may not, but the foundation you're going to get at a university. But it's really that is almost more of a continuing education thing, as well as experience to being open to, you know, free weight, body weight, suspension, machines, working out in a park, all those things. I mean, a lot of that is experience in the field.
Okay, but then that old sort of adage, how can you get experience if you don't, if you're not able to get a job to build that experience?
Yeah, well, you get the certification.
Okay, and, so you get a certification. And what are, now ACSM offers a lot of certifications. So somebody interested who has no real background, they just love to exercise, can go look at the certifications that you've got, health and fitness, clinical certifications, and specialty certifications, and say to themselves, okay, I'm interested in working with, you know, this type of person, pregnant women, cancer patients, whatever. And then can they just jump into these certifications, or there is this certain level of education that is, you know, you got to start there first?
Yeah, no, you, I mean, our group exercise and personal trainer certifications, you have to have a high school diploma, be 18 years old, and a CPR card. And that's pretty much common to the industry. And then our health fit specialist certification now requires a bachelor's degree in exercise science. Our clinical exercise specialist requires a bachelor's degree, and our registered clinical exercise physiologist requires a master's degree.
Rock on. I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear those things, because there didn't used to be any, you know, cohesiveness in the field and continuity of education. So you could get somebody who went to one of these big fitness clubs and got certified in a two-day thing with nothing much but their own ability to work out, you know?
Yeah, and that's right. And that's the challenge, because that isn't enough. And especially the behavioral side of it, because it's, you know, do you want to be an exercise, you know, technician, or do you want to be a fitness professional? It's easy, really, to design programs, and it's easy to lead someone in a program. But unless you're fostering, you know, sustainable behavior change, you're really not providing the value you should be as a professional. So that's a whole other component that has come into the field that wasn't there, I mean, even 5 years ago, but certainly 10 and 15 years ago, is supporting people in sustainable behavior change. And that's the difference between, can be the difference between a technician and a true professional.
Okay, so you know, you want to make sure that you're headed in the direction that is right for you and something that you're looking for. So whether or not you need a degree, you first have to kind of decide what you want to do, who you want to work with, what your goals are going to be. What about working with people that have injuries? Post-physical therapy, you know, obviously, unless you've got kind of an advanced degree, but, you know, those people are invariably going to come to you that have a frozen shoulder or something of that nature. How do you know how to work with that person?
Well, that's a challenge, and that you can pretty much be guaranteed as a fitness, as a base level personal trainer, that almost all of your clients are going to have some form of health challenge. You know, the younger ones, they may have a current injury or an injury history or a weak spot. You know, I tend to get shin splints. My hip bothers me if I do too much, that sort of thing. And then as they get 35, 45, 55, then it comes into, you know, comes up to more chronic conditions. So how do you know? You have to learn the scope of the practice that you have been certified to work within, and then when to refer. And when to refer is probably one of the most important things a trainer should know.
Absolutely. In the last 30 seconds, wrap it up. Can you become a personal trainer?
Yeah, you can become a personal trainer with the passion and the education. And that can either be self, better formal.
And you can always go to acsm.org and sign up for the free certification material. I've done it. It's easy. You just put your interests in there and they will send you information on becoming a certified personal trainer, because this is a growing field, listeners, and it might be something that really is attractive to you. And we certainly need more preventive medicine specialists around. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.